Jude chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the communion of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference." I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Just one word: contending. Contending. Would you lift your voices to the Lord as we pray briefly before I minister? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit, God, being here with us. Even now, God, we feel the brush, God, of your glory in this house, God. There are needs today, circumstances today, God. Help me, God, to minister, to be the voice, God, of truth today to your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. God bless you as you are seated. Contending. The word contend is a word that we would probably not use very often in our modern day vocabulary, unless it's in relation to what we would know as most likely in boxing or in some kind of competitive sport. You know, you got in this corner at 9'2" and in this corner 3'3" and the heavyweight champion of the world contending for whatever, and the way the announcers do it. But the word contend or contending, when you hear that contend, it means that they're passionately in struggle or in opposition of one another, or they're passionately fighting. They're contending for a championship. They're contending for some sort of monetary prize, contending for title or recognition or position. And so Jude, who was the brother of James and Jesus, writes this one chapter letter with today to exhort us about the need for contending, or having an attitude and a mindset of contending for the faith. This letter is the book right before the book of Revelation. It's one chapter long. It's only 25 verses. And it's a warning to the New Testament believers against succumbing to the worldliness, the arrogance, the immorality, and the greediness of the day. It's a warning to the believers against the lifestyles or the mindsets of those that are in opposition of the faith. We as Spirit-filled believers this morning are the people of God. We have been entrusted with so much, yet at times we can become forgetful without even realizing it. Reminding us this morning again of just how good God has been to all of us. The last Sunday of the year, some would argue, and I've seen it promoted, that it could, this in some ways is the last Sunday of the decade. I would argue or just not argue or agree with that. It is what it is, and for some, but to be able to come into a place of worship when you begin to look back over your life, over the last 12 months, or just to even look back of where God has brought you from, the things that God has kept you from. Like I tend to say this during our night of thanks during the month of November, just the things that God kept us from that we're not even aware of. Think about that. I'll say it again today, that what God has been so good to us that there's things that He has prevented from taking place in our life or those around us that we've forgotten, that we prayed about, that He don't forget. To be able to sit here this evening or this morning and hear the preaching and the teaching from the Word of God is a blessing. It is a blessing. I don't ever want to minimize the privilege that we have to be able to come into a place of worship and be able to hear preaching and teaching from the Word of God. That not some idea, not something that I read in a book besides the Bible, not something that I've downloaded off the internet, and I'm not promoting myself, but I tell you, I come every service with my pastor drilled it into me. I'm not going to say brainwashed it into me, but he taught me and said that when you get up there to preach, it could be the last message for somebody and you not know it. You better give it your 100%. And if you don't got time to study, you pray and you believe God's going to give you some. You pray more than you study, because you can never overdo it on prayer, but you can't overdo it trying to do it and work it out your own way. I'm so glad that this morning that we could come into a place of worship and be able to sing the songs of Zion, begin to be able to lift up our hands and begin to feel the tangible presence of a holy God. I tell you what, that is worth fighting for.
Amen.
In a world with so many distorted ideas, lifestyles, ways of living, philosophies, to remember that we are the children of God. God called us out of the miry clay and out of the pit of despair. God brought us all from the deceitfulness of sin. But if we're not careful, the deceitfulness of sin will creep back in. See, the enemy in life will trick you. It'll tell you half truth. But I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God of all truth. Come on, somebody. The good intentions of caring for which seems reasonable and necessary in what we would say we got to care for. The Bible talks about those being the cares of this world, or the cares of life. Those will choke out the faithfulness and the passions in which we have built our walk or our relationship with God upon. We cannot allow any person, place, or thing to pull us, distract us, or consume us from being a contender with our relationship with God. There's so much. In fact, the scripture tells us in Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. If you ever have experienced the what takes place when you're choking, You can see, and you can hear, and you can feel, and you can taste, and there's a little bit of breath that is coming, but you're gasping, and you're choking on something that if you're eating a piece of steak, you like the steak, you ate it, you cut it up, you put it in your mouth, it tastes good. You may have eaten other pieces before, and it never did any harm to you, but that one time, that one instance, that one situation, you say, well, I bit off more than I could chew. Could I tell it? We got to be careful that we don't bite off more than we could chew. And we begin to choke on the things that God has given us. And we turn a blessing into a curse. We got to contend for what God has given us. And this message of truth, our relationship, our salvation, our baptism, our doctrine, the Holy Ghost, our walk with God is worth fighting for. Don't let anybody, don't let anything, don't let any place distract you from getting to heaven this morning. I like what the Amplified Bible says in Mark 4:19. It says, the cares and anxieties of this world and the distractions of the age and the pleasures and delight of false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and the passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitfulness. God has called us to become followers of Him and disciples of Him. The word disciple is where we get the word discipline. There's a connection there. It's gonna take discipline, dear pastor, to get saved. But it's gonna take discipline to stay saved. Come on, somebody. It takes discipline to get in shape, right? But it takes a whole lot more discipline to stay in shape. I want us to understand that getting to heaven is worth more than anything that you can imagine. And staying in the church is going to take a fight. And staying on fire for God is going to take a fight. And staying faithful to God is going to take a fight. And being faithful to your spouse is going to take a fight. And being faithful and honest in a world that promotes dishonesty is going to take a fight. But the scripture says, he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And this is worth fighting for. Your walk with God is worth fighting for. Your relationship with God is worth fighting for. We got to understand that it's going to take discipline to say no when the flesh wants to say yes. It's going to take discipline to pray before you go and play. It's going to take discipline to not heed or fall into temptation, but to resist it and to contend for your faith and to contend for your walk with God and to contend for your testimony. Oh, what a shame for God to deliver you from some things and then for you to fall into the trap of something else that God had not intended for you. But because the devil painted a beautiful picture and you started lusting after some things. You started being fooled and deceived after some things. And God saved you from immorality. But you become consumed with the cares of this life. You become consumed with materialism. You become consumed with travel. You become consumed with education, and God says, you know what? I saved you from bitterness. I saved you from adultery. I saved you from alcoholism, but you've allowed other things to creep in. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But I want to contend for my walk with God. I want to hear those words. I want to see my Savior. In fact, it was Jesus that warned the Apostle Peter of the struggles that take place in the inner man. Notice in Matthew 26 and 41, Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm a firm believer this morning that temptation is always going to be around and accessible. But Jesus tells us, watch and pray that you enter not into temptations. He says, be aware, be on alert, pray. In fact, another scripture tells us, be vigilant, be sober, because your enemy or your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Jesus is telling us to watch and to pray, to be aware, to be alert and to pray. There's something about being aware, being on high alert, but praying while you're aware. Not just being aware and watching and seeing what's going on so you don't enter into the temptation. This means that we have to be careful as a spiritual contender to not enter into temptation. That means that we have to avoid it. We have to refrain it. If it comes your way, you be like Joseph did in the scripture with Potiphar's wife. He ran. He fled from it. That means that we have to shut it off. That means that we don't buy tickets for things that we shouldn't be buying tickets for. That means that maybe we have to go home. Maybe we got to get to the church and pray and say, you know, Lord, there's something this week that is trying to tempt me to fall. But Lord, I'm going to go to the church, or I'm going to find a place to pray. I'm going to get a hold of some brothers and some sisters, and I'm going to ask them to pray. I have an unspoken request. What are you dealing with, friend? It's none of your business. I don't want to tell you. I can't tell you. But if you love me, you won't condemn me, and you'll pray for me, and you'll help me. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means we're contending. We're not pretending to be something we're not. We know we're a sinner saved by grace. We know that in us dwelleth no good thing. But because we're filled with the Spirit and we're washed in His name, we're contending. It's going to take a fight to stay saved as much as it takes a fight to get saved. You remember how it was when somebody said, hey, you need to come to church. You know, the time it took you to get to church after they invited you. And then you get here, you're like, wow, It's pretty awesome. Things start happening. Things start changing. It's like you're on cloud nine for 900 years. And it's only 48 hours, you know. And next thing you know, whoom, everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Yeah. It takes a fight to get back, to get in, and to stay in. I'm going to hit some of you. I'm going to hit you hard. Somebody say, get ready. I would to God, some of you would fight for your walk with God like you fight for your favorite sports team that hasn't won in the last 10 years. Yeah. Right? I'm not going to pick on any teams, right? Just because my team's doing real well. But they haven't won since 94, right? Man, you're all, that's my team. Anybody on that team know who you are? I don't see your name on the stadium, right? They take your money. They charge you to park there, right? They search you to get in there. You got to park sometimes so far, you got to take a tram to get in. Then you get out, only can take so much in there. And we like to eat, right? But me and Brother Jurassic, with our money put together, barely afford a hot dog and a Coke at some of these places, right? So expensive. Got to get us souvenirs, right? And they sing songs, take me out to the ball, right? And thousands of people screaming and yelling. Brother David, some people in the snow, sitting there, buy a $3 poncho for $35, right? It's just a garbage bag with a hoodie. They sit there. Anybody go to, I went to a pretty good sized college, Fresno State, and anybody go to a school that had big football program, right? Brother Robert, they'll paint their panza, right? I've seen it, right? And they're yelling. They got their bulldog on their gut, right? Some of them permanently tattoo on their neck. And they got their colors and they're wearing their fraternity shirts and they're tailgating and they're all excited. Some of them don't even make it into the game because they're all wasted at the parking lot still. Nobody on that team knows who they are. They don't know who we are, right? They'll trade people. They'll get rid of them from here. And none of those people died on the cross for our sins. None of those people, if you answer, call them on the phone, wouldn't call you back. You can ask for an autograph and they'll walk right by you, not even pay you any attention. But we get into the presence of the Lord and all He wants is our worship. All He wants is our time, day in and day out. Can I tell you, friend, it's worth fighting for. Heaven is going to be a place that when you get there, you're going to say, it was worth it. It was worth it. All the tears, all the trials, all the fasting, all the peanut brittle, it was worth it because I'm in the presence of a holy God. And guess what? It's worth it when you can call on the name of the Lord at any time, at any place, and He hears you and He answers. It's worth it. God has spared us from the perpetual demise of sin that we got ourselves into. But we're here this morning filled with His Spirit and His blood covers our sins. I did this week in prayer just all over again. I said, Lord, I know I'm a pastor, but God, more than that, I just want to be a Christian. I want to just get to heaven. I know I'm a father. I know I'm leading a church, but God, help me, God, just to be saved. Lord, help me. When was the last time we said, God, I know I'm fighting for my retirement. I know I'm fighting for this and I'm fighting for that. But oh, God, help me to have the same passion to earnestly contend for my walk with You, God. God, help me, Lord, to be hungry, God, for Your Word. Help me to be thirsty, God, for Your Word, God. Help me, God, to have a craving to be in Your presence, God. Help me to have a desire, God, to pray and to love You and to worship You. Help me, oh God, to have a heartbeat that beats after You, oh God, as the deer panted after the water brook, God. So does my heart beat after You. When was the last time we got on our knees and said, God, I'm a sinner. I was a sinner, God, but You saved me, God. And I'm glad I'm not who I used to be, God. I know my mom and dad they may get down on me. They may say, why can't you be like this, your brother or your sister? But God, I'm so glad glad that, Lord, you don't compare me, but you love me, God. I'm so glad, God, that you love me like I'm your one and only, and that you gave your life for me, that you died on the cross. It's worth fighting for, saints of God. Your relationship with the Lord is worth fighting for. Amen. This gospel message is worth fighting for. This is good news. The world didn't give it. Ha! The world can't take it away. Our salvation is precious. It's the gift from God. Yeah. How many of you got some good presents this week? Material presents. Nobody got any presents this week? His presence is way better than any present. Our salvation is precious. Notice Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Notice verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's the gift that keeps on giving. You ever go someplace and the first 200 people get a free gift, and you're number 201? Not a good feeling, right? The Lord doesn't do that with us. It's worth fighting for. God's still working in us. God's still working through us. We've got to allow Him to work. He'll change us if we allow Him to change us. He'll work in us and through us if we allow Him to work through us. But we can't allow the things of this world to minimize or distract us from contending for our walk with God. My relationship with God is worth fighting for. Because you don't know, like I know, what God has done for me. Come on, somebody. You don't know what God has done for the neighbor or the person sitting in front of you or the lady that gets a little excited and worships the way she does or the man that runs the aisle. You don't know what God has kept them from, where God has carried them from, what God has protected them from. Come on, somebody. They're running because their salvation's worth fighting for. They lift their hands because their salvation's worth fighting for. They got a little jump in their step because their relationship's worth fighting for. Come on, somebody. They weren't always raised in the church. I know they made it look all sanctified and holy, but when they run them aisles, they got a tattoo on their head. It's a reminder of what God kept them from. It's worth fighting for, baby. I would to God some of us will remember where God has kept us from and God has brought us from and begin to give God a praise. Begin to give God a worship this morning. Hallelujah. God has delivered us from. See, we only know about one another what we allow one another to know. But He knows everything about everybody. Yeah. And He still loves us anyways. And He still forgives us anyways. Amen. He still answers our prayers anyways. We got the ups and downs, right? We got the highs and the lows, but He's faithful. Always faithful. I don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You say, Pastor, you know my testimony. I know your testimony, but I don't know everything that He knows. And I don't want to know everything that He knows. And you don't want to know everything that He knows. But I'm thankful that I can fight, that I can come in here. And this is, the song says, this is how I fight my battles. I come in here and I'm not warring against you. I'm not fighting you. I'm not against you. You're my brother. You're my sister. Why don't you worship with me? Why don't you get excited with me? Why don't you help me when I'm down? Lift me up. Don't step on me when I've been backslid. And everybody knows I've been backslid. backslid and I come back in the church, just lift me up, hold me up, move over. They're sitting with me because we're fighting. We're not fighting anybody but the devil, and we're on the winning side. He's already lost, but I'm a spiritual contender this morning. I'm going to give the devil a TKO and I'm going to stomp on him. And every time I worship, I'm giving him a bad day and I'm reminding him of my testimony. My walk with God is worth fighting for. If we're going to get addicted to something, get addicted to Jesus. If you're going to thank God for what He has kept us from, then thank Him for what He has kept you from. If we're going to spend time with anybody, spend time with Jesus. If you're going to get crazy, you say, well, I just got this crazy streak. Well, get crazy for Jesus. Just keep it legal and ethical and holy. But get crazy for Jesus. Be a contender. If you're going to get committed to something, get committed to Jesus and stay committed. If you're going to, you say, well, I'm just a fighter. I like to fight. It's always what I've always been. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Well, then be a fighter for Jesus. Just keep it ethical and legal and holy, but fight for Jesus. We need some holy rollers, but we need some worshipers. We need some Bible thumpers. We need some people that know how to war and fight in the Spirit and give God a glory and give God a praise, because they're contending. They're contending. I'm a contender. Fight and stand for your relationship with God. Fight against the devil. Don't fight against one another. Fight against the devil. Be spiritually armed and ready to defend your faith, to witness. Be spiritually armed and ready to stand against all the wiles of the enemy. Notice what the scripture says in Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Notice this. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You ever tell, well, they're a spiritual person. Well, they may be a spiritual person for wickedness. Just saying. Wherefore, take unto you a portion of the armor of God. Ah, the whole armor of God. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Having your loins girt about with truth. Come on. Our doctrine is worth fighting for. Baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and anywhere. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and for our doctrine is worth fighting for. And having your loins girt about with truth, and the breastplate of right holiness is not just external. Holiness is internal. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a way of life. It's not what you do just on Sundays, but it's who you are. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is good news. This is great news right here. This brings and gives us peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's why when Jude says, contend earnestly for your faith, the shield protects. Your faith will protect you from things when everything else wants to tear you down. Your faith will keep you grounded when other things all around you seem a little shaky. Faith. Well, and I, Brother Tony complimented the other day. He says, Pastor, you don't get off on too many side trails. But Brother Tony, I'm going to get off on a side trail right now. When in the scripture have you read anywhere where it says, oh, well done, thy good and popular, wonderful singer, and so much money in the bank, and good looking, and hard worker. You work 19 hours in a day, and you work 9 days a week. It doesn't say anywhere of that in the scripture. Well done, thy good and faithful. Faithful. If you're going to be anything, be faithful. Be a spiritual contender. Be a force that the devil and the gates of hell are worried about. You know, you shouldn't be worried about the devil. He needs to be worried about you. Yeah. In fact, James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let me tell you, some of us, we're resisting God. We need to start resisting the devil. Some of us are resisting your anointing. You're resisting the pastor. You're resisting the word of, hey, you need to stop resisting that which is trying to help you. And you need to start resisting the devil. Resist the temptation. Resist the carnality. Resist the world in it. And look up unto God. Look up unto him for which your redemption draweth. Your redemption draweth not. My help cometh from the Lord. Yeah. Pastor, why are you getting excited? Because we're contenders. Spiritual. Contenders. Pastor, you don't know what I'm faced with. You don't know what I'm up against. Pastor, not everybody has it on any easy street. Well, you're right. You're right. But I got a word for every Holy Ghost filled contender this morning. 1 John 4 and 4 says, ye are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. Than he that is in the world. I wish somebody would get excited about that and say, you know what? I am of God. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know there's a lot of things and a lot of labels people try to put on us, but guess what? I am of God. I am who God says I am, not who you think I ought to be. I am who God says I am. And he calls those things that are not as though they are. Psychiatrists may call you crazy. The scripture says you are of God. The banker will say you are broke, but the scripture says ye are of God. The boss may say you're lazy, but the script, well, you may be lazy, but the scripture says you are of God. Any Holy Ghost filled believers this morning says I am of God, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm a contender this morning. Somebody shout, I'm a contender. You may be down, but you're not out. You may be on the ropes, right? But you keep punching. Brother Ernie, you keep fighting. Your reaction time might be a little bit slower to react like you would before. But Micah 7 and 7 says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I'm going to wait for the God of my salvation. My God's gonna hear me. And for all the haters, anybody got any haters? I got a verse for you to give all your haters. Rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. Because I'm a contender. And when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I would to God somebody would stand to your feet as you musicians come and begin to shout and begin to declare that you're a contender in Jesus' name. Fight! Fight! Begin to fight in Jesus' name. I know how to pray. You can be seated, because you're a contender. You're fighting for your salvation. You're fighting for your anointing. Wish somebody would fight for your anointing this morning. Quit making excuses on why you can't. Start fighting for what God has given you. Fight for your ministry. Fight for your marriage. Mark 10 and 9 says, what therefore God hath joined together. Now there may have been a matchmaker, right? You may have got hit with that dart. It may have been love at first sight. He may know how to cook real good, right? What therefore God hath joined together, let nobody put asunder. Be a contender and fight for your kids. If you quit, who's going to stand and fight for them?
That's right.
It's sad what we read in the scripture. There arose a generation that did not know the Lord. I blame that on the parents. 3 John 1 and 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Contend and fight for your testimony. By the grace of God, some of you have broken the chains of generational addictions because you were contending for your faith. Come on, somebody. Even if nobody else is supporting you. Hey, listen. Even if no one else is promoting you. Even if nobody else sees you, doesn't pat you on the back. Even if nobody else recognizes you or appreciates you. I got something for you. God sees you. God appreciates you. God loves you.
Yeah.
You ever feel like you're alone? You ever feel like you're the only one? By yourself? Your back's up against the wall more times than you can even think and count? Guess what? Romans 8 and 31 says, "For if God be for us, who can be against us?" In fact, if you feel like you're the only one out there living for the Lord, hey, guess what? Frustrate the devil anyways. Amen. Confuse the devil anyways. Be a contender anyways. When things are going good, be a fighter for your walk with God. And when things aren't going so good, fight anyways. The Bible says in Psalm 150 and 2, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. When you're having a bad day and a boo-hoo me and a pity party and you're wearing the shirt, you got the headgear on of a pity party, you need to pull this scripture out. You need to read it and say, you know what? I'm going to praise the Lord for His mighty acts, and I'm going to praise Him according to His excellent greatness. If He was good to me last week, He could be good to me today. Guess what? If 2019 wasn't good for you, hey, 2019's about to be gone. You're stepping into a new season, and He's got some things for you that you haven't even seen or imagined yet. But you got to fight. You got to stay in the fight. You got to contend. You got to be able to stay and be there for when He blesses you. You can stand and say, I'm praising Him according to His excellent greatness. When you're in the midst of a trial, contend. Give God the glory anyways. When you're weary and have every opportunity to not be faithful, be faithful anyways. 1 Peter 1:7 says, as we stand, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto praise. The struggles are real. Yeah, your struggle is real, but guess what? God is real too. Jude said, I exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith. To fight and hold your ground and to be faithful, especially in the day and age that we're living in, is worth fighting for. Your walk with God is worth fighting for. Getting to heaven is worth the fight, the struggle. It's going to always be there, but so is God. The scripture says where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. So if there's that much sin, there's that much more grace and mercy for us. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly. Romans 13:14 says, they put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now is the time more than ever to let your light shine. Dawning of a new day, a new year. What's it going to be? How's it going to end? How's it going to start? Contending and fighting. Anybody want to draw closer to God? Anybody want to finish stronger than the way you started? Maybe you were kind of limping up until you got here this morning. You're starting to feel a little bit revived. It's because you're a contender. You've been knocked down, but you're not knocked out. I wonder if you would come to the altar this morning if you want to draw closer to the Lord. You want to say, Lord, I'm not into New Year's resolutions, but I am into a New Year revolution. Time to revolutionize some things, change some things. I'm trying to maintain what God has given me. Center of it all. Would you come to the altar this morning?
Jesus at the center of it all.
Can we find a place to pray? talk to Jesus.
From beginning to the end, it will all.
Why do you lift your hands?
It's all.
Because I'm contending. Why do you go and pray?
Jesus.
Because I'm contending.
Jesus at the center.
Why do you kneel before the Lord? Because I'm contending. I'm humbling myself
Jesus
before Him.
At the center of it.
Why do you lift your voice? Because He answers when I call.
From beginning to the end.
What are you fighting for?
It will always
I'm fighting for
be.
My salvation.
It's always been you, Jesus.
Fighting for my marriage.
Jesus,
I'm fighting for my healing.
Nothing else matters.
I'm fighting for my salvation.
Nothing in this world will do.
Why do you cry? It's tears of
Jesus,
joy. It's what it is.
You're the
Just because
center.
I cry, I don't mean I'm sad. I'm happy. I'm overwhelmed by His goodness.
Jesus, you.
Why do you give the way you do?
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the Savior.